adjustment. I don't know about you, in that moment, you're like, I don't know about that adjustment. A lot of people are afraid of the chiropractor, you know, but at the end, you're kind of, oh, okay, that was good. That was a good little kind of pop and adjust of what really the Spirit-filled life is. So to just like the key thought is Galatians 5:16. Not Galatians 5:16, but that is a key one too. It says, I say walk and live habitually, like be in the habit. That's what the word habitually means. To be in the Holy Spirit, to be responsive and guided by him. Walk by the Holy Spirit. Be in the habit of checking in with him, which is the Lord, the voice of the Lord on the earth, right? And the key scripture for this whole series is Ephesians 5:18. In the Amplified, it says, ever be filled, stimulated with the Holy Spirit. So that comes from the Greek word. It says, be being filled. Everybody say, be being filled. Be being filled. And it says this, it translates to keep on continually and constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is my takeaway, because I have found being raised in a wonderful like church where we taught on infilling of the Holy Spirit. We taught on Pentecost. We taught on these things. But we sometimes, we think it's just like a one-time kind of thing. And then the pressures of life. The pressures of life. Look at that. The pressures of life and just life in general. We just leak. Come on. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience of the Holy Spirit driving in the rain. Oh my gosh. And we need to live a life where we are constantly stirring ourselves up, stirring other people up in the Holy Spirit, in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is vitally important. I heard another minister do an analogy, but I'm not going to do this one in church, because I was already told that my awkward sounds of the chalkboard, which is when you move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit without love. And you guys remember that from last week, that okay, and people were like, that was like really hard on the ears. So I have another analogy, but I'm not going to do it in church because it'd be even worse. So the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I heard a wonderful minister say this, it's like a balloon. Everybody go like this. It's a life of more. The only thing, this balloon doesn't pop. But it does leak under pressure. And that's a really awkward sound to do in church, so I'm not going to do it. You know what that sound is. But it is so important to live a life where we just say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, I need more of you in my life. Number one, it keeps us humble, doesn't it? I need more of him. I do. It's a place to get, like sometimes when I'm driving to church, just go, no. But like, Holy Spirit, I need you. Fill me. Just start worshiping. We talked last week specifically on how we can stir ourselves up, and I won't go back and review it. You can go back and listen to it. Just the things that we do to keep filled, keep stirred. Because you know, it's so funny, when that balloon gets filled bigger and bigger and bigger, there's kind of that, you just want to let it out. You know what I mean? There's this infilling where you get so filled, and this is this concept of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, where you get so filled. I'm trying, Mom, just grace on it. You get so filled and overflowing that you just start pouring out on the lives and the people and the atmosphere around you. Peter was so filled with Holy Spirit. He was in such a constant communion and talking to the Lord and a life of prayer and worship and the word and a life of just letting him flow out of your life, that when Peter walked through the crowd, they say his shadow healed people. It wasn't his shadow. It was the overflowing presence of Holy Spirit that was just hovering around him. When Jesus walked into a room, atmosphere shifted. Peace I leave with you. I've met a lot of, this is a challenging, not here right on my notes, but I think we as a group of people, we as Christians are to be carriers of the presence of God, overflowing with him in the fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control, right? Remember we said this? Love, last week we talked about this, in 1 Corinthians 13, love does not insist on its own way. We sometimes, as a group of Christians, we forget that this infilling and this overflowing is not a it's not our personality. Does this make sense? It's not our agenda. Does this make sense? Sometimes we are just the bull in the china shop. I want to do it my way. I want to do church my way. I want to do ministry my way, right? And that's not love. And you have to go back into the scripture, the manual. Remember we talked about the manual? Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a power tool, but with him comes power. And if we are not reading the manual and if we are not overflowing in the fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control and all these things, we can do a lot of damage. And then the atmosphere that we carry as Christians is not him, because he smells like love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. And we get a reputation as Christians. And our reputation is just religion. Our reputation of judgment and criticism. Do you ever walk into a room with someone and you know, maybe they move in these gifts? Real talk. We're going to talk about tongues today. But maybe they pray in tongues, but they walk into the room and it's just gossip and slander and criticism and you're never good enough. And you know what? I want to get out of that room as fast as possible. And if they're sitting at the table, I will go do the dishes. Right, Mama? We, you know, that's how we do it. You know, sometimes we just go do the dishes. I'm just going to scrub the dishes and get away from that conversation. We carry a presence to us. We are to be the light of the world. And we are to move in these gifts. And there are powerful ways to move in them. And I'm going to teach you the chalkboard kind where we're doing it not in love and not doing it in the right context. Because the Bible says, do all things in decency and in order. Says it twice in 1 Corinthians 14. I talked about it last week. Because when we don't do things in decency and order, and we don't do things in love, and anyone that's ever been in a band, you know those cymbals. When you do the cymbals at the wrong time, you ever been in like the kiddo band, like elementary school, you know, when they first got an instrument, and like your kid gets on the stage like, and they've been waiting the whole time to do it, and they just, that's not the time to do it, honey, but I wanna. But love does not insist on its own way. But that's my kid, and we're going to have to love them through it. And what? In the band, we keep working. You know, the band director essentially is discipling that musician to learn the right time and the right place and the right way to do it and to ready flow with the whole. We as Christians often have a reputation of being the chalkboard because we insist on doing things our own way because we liked it, or the Holy Spirit told us to do it one way one time and we got powerful results, and I'm going to do it that way every time after that. And now we have a formula for ministry. Moses, remember Moses? Fantastic man of God, friend of God. You know, Moses had a bad day in ministry. As a pastor, I'm not allowed to get a bad day in ministry, but I have them. Why? Because people will leave your church when you're just like, I'm done. You know, he had a bad day in ministry. So listen, they were grumbling, they were complaining, and they were thirsty, and they were in the wilderness. And the Lord said, take your staff and strike the rock. And water flowed out. Was that Moses? No. He was being obedient with what the Lord said. And those jerks were being grumbling and complaining, threatened to kill him. And it just is, I don't, can't remember how much farther down the timeline. And now he's just frustrated. Come on, parents. How many times have you just been frustrated? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I want to do this. He touched me. He poked me. He had a moment. Didn't mean he didn't love them. Okay. But he, you know, what'd he do? He said, they're thirsty. Okay. The Lord said, speak to the rock. But do you know what he felt like doing? Taking that stick and whacking the rock. Worked the last time. He didn't obey how the Lord said to do it. The Lord said to do it a different way. But he went back to his formula. Because he was feeling some sort of way. And the Lord said, Moses, I love you. but now I can't use you to lead them into the promised land. It can't is ministry. So if you're like, Pastor Sherry, why do them people on television, and I'm going to be very careful how I say this because I don't want to be dishonoring. Why do they move in the power of the Holy Spirit like that? I'll just be like this. I don't know. I don't. But I have to believe, looking at some of the examples in the Bible, is at one point the Lord told them to do it that way. It got powerful results, and it's kind of like a showy kind of thing, you know, and they just kind of got that into their way of doing ministry, and it got into the culture of the church. It got into the expectation of it. You follow me? I'm not speaking against them. I'm being very careful and honoring. I don't know, but it is really important to ever be continually guided by the Holy Spirit, because then we won't make a formula out of ministry. You hear me? I'm going to talk about tongues, and it's a deep dive, and it's a lot of fun, but I will say this. We're going to talk about all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to just overemphasize one, so we'll keep going. But when you're like, why are they doing it this way? I'll just say this. Like our kid on the stage with a big smashing cymbal, psh, at the wrong time, at the wrong place, making it all about them because they just want to use their gift. Psh, 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 psh. Come on, anybody, like, listen, you know, I did orchestra. I was terrible at the viola. They must have paid me to just stop playing. I literally just looked when everybody raised their bow and I just moved mine. They probably thanked me later because I would have just made it sound super bad. But I was, listen, it was so funny. I was in unity. I'm not faking, but sorry, I'm detoured on a thank you. My husband's like, get back on track, but you feel me. All right. So when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13 and 14, it is woven throughout these themes of decency and order. There's a time and a place for everything. It's all about love, right? And the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And you are to eagerly desire these gifts. I'm preaching out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 14. Go study it. There's so much in there. The Bible, Paul wrote, he said, man, I pray in tongues probably more than all you. And I want you all to pray in tongues, but I want you to do it well. And in the right time and the right place. And he said, more importantly, I want you to desire. I want you to want to live a life out of the box and not limit God in your life. And you hear Paul's heart in it. And Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church, and I talked about it last time. The Corinthian church was the sin city. It was a port town. It was wild. It wasn't even wild. It was just like super sinful and just totally out of order. It was crazy town. And he was, as a loving father, because he founded that church, doing loving correction, saying the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not making you out of order. Your life is out of order. Your life is out of the order. Does that make sense? And so he wrote line upon line, precept upon precept. And I really want to do a series, particularly in Corinthians, because it's full of like really, really intense stuff. So the Holy Spirit doesn't make you weird. He doesn't make you out of order. He doesn't make you selfish. He doesn't make you the ba-ching, ba-ching, ba-ching symbol, right? We do that because we're out of love. Does that make sense? Because love does not insist on its own way. And love builds up the whole church. And there's a time and a place for everything. And we're going to have to learn how to do it. And we're going to learn how to do it together. Amen? Should we dive in? All right. Thank you, Lord. All right. Let me get ahead. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus told his disciples as he departed, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with, Amplified Bible says, you're going to get filled with power, ability, efficiency, and might. I need more power, ability, and efficiency, and might. And the reason why, we talked about it in week one, is because the Holy Spirit empowers us to reach the lost. Lost Christians, people that don't know the Lord, to get them into the kingdom of God, he empowers us. And I have people that I love that have lost their way or have yet to even find Jesus. I have neighbors, I have people I interact with, my goodness. And sometimes I don't know what to say, but the Holy Spirit will empower me. And he says this, you will be filled with power, ability, efficiency, and might, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem. So that's York, Judea. So I don't know, like York, Baltimore. Okay, we're just kind of going out, right? And to the ends of the earth, wherever you go. And let me tell you, when things get ugly, and how many people have experienced persecution at the workplace because of your faith? Maybe you shared your faith. Maybe you wanted to do a Bible study in the break room. Maybe you shared your faith with your boss, and then they started treating you different after that. Maybe you lost your job. You know what happened under the persecution? They spread out, and they took the gospel to places it would have never gone. God will work all things together for good. But how many know when you've been rejected and persecuted and attacked, looked down on, or just told over and over again, you're not good enough? I need the Holy, guys, that's what causes, let me just be real. That's the pain in life that just causes us to leak out. Come on. This world, sometimes you're like, Holy Spirit doesn't leave you. Did I be clear on that? To be baptized in the Holy Spirit means to be, this is what it actually translated. So cool. I love it. Let me find it here. It's the Greek word to immerse to the point of stain or dyed. When you put a cucumber in the pickling situation, you take a cucumber from your garden, you put it in the pickling juice, it turns into a pickle. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Are you ever going to go back to being a cucumber? You are permanently stained and dyed. Holy Spirit doesn't leave you, but I'm just trying to give you an example of like, why did I get filled with the Holy Spirit that one time 10 years ago? There was more, and I got more, and there were gifts manifesting in my life, tongues manifesting in my life, the power of God and boldness, and I was just living my best life for the Lord, and now I'm just like, I know he's in me, and I'm just not feeling it. Did he leave you? You're still a pickle. You are still his child. You are still baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're filled, but you're just kind of got out of the, what? I know mom's like, you got out of the overflow. And we talked last week how to get into overflow. So go back in here. So now, okay, here we go here. When I'm not feeling it, I need to stir myself up in the Holy Spirit. I need people to what? Lay hands on my shoulder, to share testimony with me, to stir me up and pray for me to get in this overflow again. All right, so here we go. So this word filled. You need to be filled with the power of God. That's what Jesus said. To be a witness, to reach the lost. This word fill comes from this word, this Greek word fill that was used. It means to satiate, to supply in excess, to overflow. Here we go. We got the little sponge here. We go to church, we get our little dabble, do you? Am I in overflow? Nope. That overflow is a daily spending life in the Word and worship and in fellowship, going to a grow group, sitting beside someone because I'm not feeling good. It take everything that I had to get to church today. Someone encourage me, build me up. Someone ready, moving the prophetic gifts of the Holy Spirit. To prophesy means to build up, encourage, comfort, and strengthen. That's 1 Corinthians 14:3. Because then when you get around people and you're the soaking wet sponge, everyone around you just kind of gets a little more wet. Okay. Luke 24:49, Jesus said to his disciples, I will send forth upon you, what my Father has promised, but remain in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Okay. His disciples were clothed with power on high when they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Today is what? The day of Pentecost. That is the day we celebrate, but every day should be Pentecost. Do you know why? Because guess what? On the day of Pentecost, they were in the upper room. This is an upper room here. Maybe your upper room is your apartment. Maybe your upper room is the 12th floor in your building that you work in. Maybe your upper room is in the, I know people that go to work and they sit in the parking lot. And they just, you know, spend time in the Word and they get in the Bible. And you're gathering, and this is cool, they gathered in unity. And then, Holy Spirit, this is what happens. Acts 2:1-4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place in unity. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting then, and it looked like flames or tongues of fire. And it settled on each of them. So fire, when you look in the Bible through the Old Testament and the New Testament, remember back Moses, there was the burning bush, there was fire. It is a symbol of the manifest presence of God. Did you know there are powerful symbols in the Old Testament and the New Testament, okay? So this is a symbol. They're seeing fire above each and every one of them, kind of in the shape of a tongue, right? And with that, there's this experience of a greater degree of a manifest presence of God. This is where I want to go to my balloon analogy. They're in an upper room in unity, not in judgment, not in criticism, not talking about the church down the road, how they're different than us and they're not as good as us and they don't have the revelation we have. Come on, we've all fallen into those things. This is why Satan gets religion going, doesn't it? If the one thing that brings you together with other Christians is talking bad about other Christians, you're not living a spirit-filled life. But I got the gifts. But you're not living the spirit-filled life. Does that make sense? They're in unity. They're praying. And then this greater degree of the presence of God starts filling, and ready for this, overflowing. And here's how it overflowed. There's tongues, there's boldness, there's power, there's prophecy, there's a change. Not just in them, but in the people around them. They're in such an overflow that it's like they're so different. People started changing around them. Peter's shadow goes into the workroom, and you know what? How many people know work right now? You're probably on the last economy crash, my department went from 4 people to 1.5. I was the one and my supervisor was the 0.5. So we're doing the same amount of work with a 10% pay decrease. We lost our bonuses. You just got to work harder for less. That was just the time. And you know what the greatest test was? All the complainers were the ones that got let go. 30% of my company, they let go. All the grumblers, the complainers, and the gossips were the first ones to lose their job. So we're smart people. We're starting picking up on this pattern. What do you want to do is complain, because you're having to work harder for less. And so my supervisor was a Christian. She went to my church, and I go, we're going to just play the lemonade game. She goes, what is that, Sherry? I said, we're going to make lemonade out of anything that hits us in the face, because my job was customer service for the whole company. That means you don't even want to go to the bathroom because you got more to return phone calls, and they're all yelling at you and blaming at you, and your job is to apologize for something that wasn't your problem and then fix it. Yay, all day long. Do you think I'm feeling overflowing? I broke a phone receiver. Do you know what happened? Someone was just, rah, rah, rah. I mean, they're cussing me out. And come on, as pastor, you don't get to have a bad day. I learned it in customer service. I don't get to have a bad day. That's why they paid you in customer service. You know what I did? Excuse me, ma'am, can I just put you on hold one moment? I broke the phone receiver. I was not in overflow. HR came to my office and they're like, Sherry, and Lisa and I were cool. We were cool. She's like, I'm going to need you to not do that again. I'm going to order you another phone, but we're going to have to find a better way of managing stress. Was I in overflow? No. I was not. Did Holy Spirit leave me? Was I any less loved or less, baptized in the Holy Spirit? No. I'm the pickle, but the pickle's not having a good time at work. Literally broke the phone receiver. Pastor Sherry, it's a true story. All right, let's get back to this thing. All right, they got filled with the Holy Spirit, and this wild, cool gift of tongues overflows. And everything around them started shifting and changing, and there is power, and there is prophecy. What does prophecy mean? 1 Corinthians 14:3, to build up, to encourage, to comfort, and strengthen. Okay? All right, so here's what happened. All right, first of all, let's talk about this word tongue. All right, okay. So this word tongue is simply a language. So anyone here speak another language? Anybody have a friend from another country? Yes, okay. So for instance, my brother-in-law, he's Chinese, and his parents actually came over from China from the, I just know they speak Cantonese, so it's a particular region and dialect, right?
So they're both in heaven now with my dad. But if I had met them and I would hear them talking in the room, you know, I'd say, well, what is your native tongue? Right? What's your native tongue? What's your native language? You know, where are you from? Right? And you know, Tammy came off the missions field. I mean, there's all these different regional dialects in different countries. We have regional dialects in America. You ever been down to Baton Rouge? What'd you say? It's English in there somewhere. You know, we have regional dialects, right? Okay. So a tongue is simply a language, right? And the people, let's see, 1 Corinthians 13:1. This is what tongues. Paul said this, though I speak with a tongue of men. How many people speak a language in here? English. Raise your hand if you speak English. Okay, raise your hand if you speak another language of this earth. Okay, right? We got probably some Spanish in here. I know we have some German in here. You know, there's just different languages, right? Okay, so there's languages of men and, ready, says, of angels. There is a heavenly language. So this thing in the Bible about tongues, there's four different kinds of tongues. We're going to talk about it, okay? There's the tongues of this earth, which is what happened on the day of Pentecost. And there's tongues of angels, or essentially the language of God, okay? It is an outward sign of this overflowing, of this infilling, overflowing, right? So I'd say this, the proof's in the pudding. I love a jelly donut. Brad brought me home some jelly donuts from men's prayer or whatever. Only certain kinds. I don't like them too sweet. I like the tangy infilling, okay? But, you know, you don't really know what's in there until there's an opportunity to see it, right? And I'll say this, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We have a portion of the Lord inside of us, right? By the way, when you gave your life to Jesus, it said the Spirit of Christ Jesus came to dwell inside you. You have Holy Spirit. If you gave your life to Jesus, Romans 10, 9 and 10, I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross, rose again. I'm his. I'm forever changed. I'm transformed, right? But there's the overflowing, which is the I want all of God I can get. I don't want one bite of my donut. I want to eat the whole thing. Actually, I don't even like the people. My old job, they bring donuts in every Friday. You know, the people that cut it in half and leave the half? Like, first of all, you touched my donut. Don't touch my donut. I want you touching my donut. And now I don't have an excuse to eat the whole thing. I want all of God I can get. I love Doritos. I dare you to try to eat just one. I'm not doing promos. I'm just saying I'm like a more person. Brad and I went to an all-you-can-eat kind of place last night. I did not stop until I was like, you know when you just stretch? Thanksgiving stretch, we're like, I got some more room. It was just Korean barbecue. It was amazing, okay? It was like 7 servings of meat until I was like trying to tap out. Come on, anybody else excited about that besides me? I always want more. And my challenge to you in my series is just this. Don't get hung up on the logistics and like dividing on doctrine. Just get to a point of like, Holy Spirit, I want you out of the box in my life. I just want more of you. Show me how to do it well, in decency and in order, in love, so the world around me changes, okay? Sometimes you're going to get out there and you had a great time in the Bible and the Word. You went to like a grow group, you know, you got together with your friend for lunch and you're just encouraging one another and building each other up and sharing scriptures. And then you go out and you just feel this little bit of like a something in your gut. You ever, let's just say this, be led by love. Sometimes there is just something inside you, compassion. The Holy Spirit will lead through compassion. Jesus was moved by compassion to minister. And that's just the little squeeze on the jelly donut. You're like, do I need goosebumps? Do I need to hear a whoo from heaven? Do I need the light to shine down? No, listen, do you feel compassion going out of your heart towards someone? You can't explain it. You've been around someone, you're like, I don't know, I just have compassion. Jesus was moved by compassion. That's the little squeeze on the jelly donut. And did you know this? You can choose, come on. This is my favorite analogy. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you are carbonated. The power of God comes inside you. But you have a choice to keep the lid on. And let me tell you this, like I said, in customer service, when I'm breaking the phone receiver, I am not in overflow. I didn't leave Jesus. Jesus didn't leave me. Holy Spirit didn't leave me. The power of God didn't leave me. He is inside of me, but I'm not feeling it. So I need to what? Stir myself up through godly fellowship in the word and worship. We talked about it last week, right? You stir yourself up. And when you get around people and a compassion flows out of your, I don't know, but I'm too busy. I don't have enough time. That's where I fall into. That's me. That's my lid all the time. I'm too busy. I'm exhausted. That's my lid. Pastor Sherry has a lid. It's called exhausted, too busy, too scheduled. Am I not filled with the power of God? I am filled with the power of God. I'm just not an overflow because I'm doing too much and I'm too busy and I'm too put down and too many people criticize me. I didn't feel enough. That's why I got to what? Build up, encourage, comfort, strengthen in the word and godly fellowship. That's why the prophetic words that are done in decency and order are so great because it stirs you up. People praying for you stirs you up. And then when compassion moves in your heart, pop the lid off. You have a choice. Okay? Some people think, oh, it's just going to happen. God is not a control freak. You have free will. You have a choice. It's good to get stirred up. Okay, here we go. Keep going. Acts chapter 2, 38 through 39. Holy Spirit is for everyone who believes. Peter answered them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of and the release from your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. People don't give yucky things. They don't give yucky things. People make it yucky. Remember my out of love? People make things yucky. The Bible says this, that when you ask, God is a good father, and when a child goes up to a good parent and asks for a good thing, they ask for breakfast, you're going to give them a Pop-Tart with the sprinkles on it, if you're into it. I'm like a bacon and eggs, like burrito, something, wrap, I don't know. Just give me bacon and eggs. I just want meat, okay? God's going to give you a good thing. And he says, and so he will give you the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's a good thing. Yucky people make it yucky. Brash people make it brash. Weird people make it weird. Okay. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness and the release from your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is to and for you. Everybody put your, do the thumb at you. To and for you and your children. Okay, if you got a child, you can go, and for you, okay? And to and for all that are far away. Hey, drink something. This is going to be super gross. Mom, can I eat? Oh, I shouldn't. Babe, giant jug. Here we go. This is great. Okay. So the Holy Spirit is a gift, and he's for me, for my kid, and for everybody. Aren't you glad God's not an elitist? Aren't you glad God's not an elitist? Aren't you glad Jesus isn't prejudiced? What? Come on, for real. For real, for real. He's for everyone. Did it give a lot of stipulations on that? Did it say you got to look a certain way, talk a certain way, have a 20-pound Bible in a suit? And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, I got to speak. No, we just have cultural preferences. Do you hear me? We just have cultural preferences. That's okay. We have different cultures. Can we honor other people's cultures and just love them? That's okay. All right. It's for all. All right. So I say this. Why do people get such a negative connotation and just put the lid on, be like, you know what? I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I asked for the Holy Spirit to fill me. God, I want all of you I can get. I want all of you I can get. I will take every gift you have for me except that one. Nope. Because we keep the lid on because someone made it yucky. You ever been in church and someone made it yucky? Could have been prophecy, a prophetic word. It could have been tongues. Could have been interpretation. Could have even been worship. Anybody ever been in a worship service and someone just like went rogue and made it all about them? Brad shows me like worship video fails. And it's really funny. I remember there's one where a drummer went up there and did a full-on drumming solo. And it was awesome, but it was not the time or the place to be the rock star. And they just got, and everybody's like, what is going on? And recording it, it's fine, okay. I just want every person in this place to say, I want all of God I can get. Get out of the box and just be open. And how about this? Earnestly desire all the gifts. Just earnestly desire. Because I'm going to teach about tongues. I'm going to teach about all the other ones and prophecy and the gift of faith and all these things. And they're powerful and they're to empower you to reach the lost. They are to empower you to... Thank you, Chris, for grabbing this. I had a picture of this during worship and he brought him up after. To build up the church. To build up. Did you know as religion tears down? Religion takes your word out of context and the Bible out of context for its own agenda, and you are never good enough. And these gifts are to build us up into something strong, into something healthy. That word build up, I'll get into it later, is from a Greek word that means to construct, to build. And there are times when you move in the gifts publicly, everybody say publicly, it is to build up the whole church. Look around you. And there's another time privately where it is to build you up. Do you know when things get yucky? When someone moves in a gift that is meant to build just them up, only them, and they decide to make it all about the whole church, but really they were making it all about them. And everybody goes, that's yuck. That's the, ready? Okay, it's one time. There's a time and a place for everything. Okay. We've seen abuses of the gift of tongues probably so much. And like I said, let's dive into it here. Okay. Let's see here. All right, there are four different types of tongues, two for public and two for private. I think I have enough time to cover the two for public. And it was really, really clearly taught, honestly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14. It's really, really simple. There's a time and a place for everything. And love does not insist on its own way. But there's an incredible time privately as well. Okay. Public tongues, there are two different kinds, and they're as a sign to unbelievers. Ready? For public tongues, sorry, there's four, excuse me. Public tongues, number one, as a sign to unbelievers. This is what's going on in Acts chapter 2. This is the specific one on Pentecost Sunday. So Mark 16, 17 says, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Jesus is talking. He said, there's a miraculous sign that accompanies those that believe in Jesus, right? And it says this, they will speak in new tongues, new languages, depending on your translation. So this is when the Holy Spirit moves upon us, overflows out of us in a way that just transcends our intellect and our understanding. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. It's a mystery. And here's the thing. There are mysteries in the Bible. There is the supernatural in the Bible. And there's something called cessationism, where basically they just say anything that's supernatural, anything that's mysterious is not for today. And I'll just be saying this, like that's very controlling. It's not of God. And what would say it? Go ahead. Wrong answer, right? Do you know how much Bible we'd have left if we tore out every page that was mysterious and supernatural? I think, Benjamin Franklin tried to do that. Interesting. All right, that's another story. All right. This public tongues is assigned to unbeliever. Acts 2, 5 through 6 and verse 11. We just kind of read this. This is the day of Pentecost when it overflowed onto the streets with tongues. It says this, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the DC of Israel. So you go to DC, you're going to see people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, right? Every nation, every tribe, every tongue comes from the Bible, right? There's just tons of people from different countries. It's a major hub, right? From people that are there for the government to people that work there. Also, a major hub is New York City. Oh my gosh, why? Because it was Ellis Island's first stop. There's just tons of people with different backgrounds, all right? And it said this, verse 6, and when they heard the loud noise, they came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages. So what happened? We just read back on the day of Pentecost, They're all gathered in unity. Holy Spirit fills them. And these tongues start coming out. And it says they spill out into the streets. And they're full of joy. It's a full of what? Love and joy. And not yuck. There was a peace. Okay? And then it caught people's attention because they thought they were drunk. They had so much joy. And they're laughing. They thought, wow, you must be drunk. But it's 9 a.m. Who's really drunk at 9 a.m? Very few. Okay? And it said here, and when they heard this ruckus, they came running to go here, and they heard their own languages. So, and it caught their attention. Why? Because people looked really different than them. I know. People looked really different. So, like I said, I'll just use my brother-in-law. Okay, so someone that looks Chinese is in Jerusalem, and then someone comes out speaking other tongues that looks Swedish. You know, they just look different, whatever. It caught their attention because they were speaking perfect Chinese from the Cantonese dialect. And you're like, that's weird. You don't look like where I'm from. And back then, they didn't have the Rosetta Stone and the apps and Google Translate. So it caught their attention. Sorry, guys. We're just doing it. It's really pretty today, so it's fine. It caught their attention. What? The gifts of the Holy Spirit are the dinner bell to the lost. I might just do that. Thank you. It's a dinner bell to the lost. It catches the attention in not a yucky way. Does that make sense? Not in the psh, psh, psh way. Okay? They heard their own language being spoken by believers, by Christians. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about what? The wonderful things God has done. It was a miracle. Something happened, it overflowed, and this is one of the four different types of tongues, two for the public, and what overflowed out of them were languages of this earth. All these different languages. Guys, I don't even know how many languages they speak all over the earth right now. But 120 people rolled out into the streets with joy and love and peace, and it caught their attention because they were different than the rest of the world. It looked a lot different than the religion of that day. The Judaism was very judgmental and critical, and you're not good enough. It was very elite. They wouldn't even look at you. They couldn't even be around you. They touched you. They got to go shower and do all these things. Something was different about them. We as a Spirit-filled community need to get back to the overflowing infilling of the Holy Spirit, where love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control and love that doesn't insist on my own way of doing things. And the power of God. And there's lots of different ways he can flow through you powerfully. Because you look different than the rest of the religious slop they're shoving out there. It caught their attention. And what were they doing? What was bubbling out of them was not judgment and criticism. It was the wonderful things God had done. But it was a miracle because they didn't know those languages. All right, so the purpose of signs and wonders is a dinner bell to the lost. So what happened then? Peter is now empowered. So yes, there's the gift of tongues rolling. But also, Peter was a coward that was very brash and always like messing up. And Peter was now changed by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to preach to 3,000 people. And they got what? They gave their life to Jesus and they were baptized. And it just, God used someone that was so different before. Okay, so let me give an example of this. I'll just use Tammy as an example. So she's on the mission field, hypothetically. This did not happen, I'm just using it. A really cool way this gift can manifest as a sign and a wonder to the lost in public is if you have a missionary. Now, how many people know that we're all missionaries? And we have neighborhoods in America where they don't speak our native language. And you're called to be Jesus to everybody. You're called to share Jesus to everybody, but what do you do if you run into someone that literally you can't speak their language? Thank God we have Google Translate. Okay, but there are some places in this world that they don't have Google Translate, or they have no signal, or their phone just died. I don't know. And so this is an example of this miracle could happen when you encounter a language barrier. And I'm trying to share Jesus with them. I'm trying to share my testimony. And I'm stumbling through like, ¿Dónde está el baño? That I got to the bath. How do I? Jesus, gloria a Dios. I'm not trying to make fun. Excuse me. It's probably the only language I can fumble through a little bit, but let's just say that you are having a major language barrier with someone. And then, I don't know, the jelly donut, there's just that little like squeeze, there's a compassion. This person needs Jesus. I need Jesus. This is the only time I'm ever going to interact with this one person, and they have a family. Maybe it's at an airport. I don't know. And there's that little tug of compassion, and you just go, I'm just going to open my mouth, and I'm just going to start talking, and a language erupts out of you. And all of a sudden, they hear Jesus glorified, and you preach the gospel so clearly, and they gave their life to Jesus. Isn't that cool? This is mysterious, and it's powerful. And all I had to do was just a little squeeze. I'm just going to start talking. And the Holy Spirit took over. How cool is that? I've heard of stories of this happening. It's never happened to me. But I'll give it opportunity, you know. Probably talk to people that don't look like you. Maybe. Do you know how it'd be cool if we all talk to people that don't look or seem like us? And we just started praying because I didn't know what to do. Or maybe I just don't know what to say. And then the Holy Spirit just bursts out of you and does something miraculous. How cool is that? I've heard of this happening at prayer meetings where people are just praying, like for instance, okay, Michelle's there. So Michelle's behind Emma, right? And Michelle's just praying, and she's praying privately, and there's uses for private tongues, quietly to yourself or whatever. And Emma's sitting in front of you, but let's just say Emma's from, I don't know, give me a country, Emma, any country. Italy, perfect, love it. Okay, she's from Italy, and you're praying, and at the end of the prayer meeting, and you're quiet to yourself, Emma comes to you, and she goes, I didn't know you knew Italian, and Michelle's like, I definitely don't know Italian, but hey, I like Italian. Italian's good, you know? Give me some, you know, Stromboli, it's awesome, right? We like Italian. And she goes, what do you mean? You spoke perfectly. I have family in Sicily. It's a regional dialect. I heard perfectly that you were talking about my grandmother, and she's currently in the hospital in Sicily, and she's diagnosed with such and such and such and such, and they're saying she's not going to live, but you just spoke in my native language and prophesied that my grandmother will live and not die, and don't give up. She goes, I thought, how'd you not know? It was a miracle. I've heard of those things happen. It hasn't happened to me, but it happens. How cool is that? Could you guys kind of like, maybe be like squeaking a little bit on getting the cap off. You're like, no, I would be cool with God using it that way. That sounds good. All right, let's go into some more. All right, now I'm gonna hit the chalkboard one. This is the one where we've seen it done wrong, and you have to teach on it. Public tongues is a gift of tongues. All right, it's the gifts of the public office of tongues and interpretation. Okay, so how many people know this? I can hold a tune, but my range is this big. And anytime I've ever tried to potentially, honestly, I just do not have a gift to lead worship. I'm being honest with you. It is 1,000% not my gift. I know my lane. I can sing on key when I'm preaching and I do a funny little song, but not up there. It is not my lane. When you stay in your lane, you don't crash into someone else and hurt someone else or make a mess. I know my lane. I'm not called to lead worship. Is that okay? Yeah, thank you, Pastor Sherry. It's good. All right. How many people know that many of you guys can teach? You can teach your children how to ride a bike. You could teach a friend how to balance their checkbook, right? But it doesn't mean if you're really good at teaching people how to balance your checkbook, you're the next, I don't know. I never read his book, but Dave Ramsey is like, he has that little balance budget thing. He has a public office. His calling is on a stage and on social media. They just are called to very large groups of people, right? There are teachers. We can all teach. Okay, but doesn't mean we're called, you know, to be on the microphone or have like a large thing. Does that make sense? So when it's talking about these gifts, it's talking about the office of these gifts, the microphone version, the large group of people thing. So it's not saying you can't move in these gifts as the Spirit wills. It's just saying there's a time and a place for everything. And honey, if you're on the cymbals, psh, 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 you make the service all about you. It wasn't the time, it wasn't place, and you weren't called to the office of it. Does that make sense? The office isn't better than you. It's just we're all different. Thank God. Isn't great God made us different? So where you've seen the most of the abuses and the yuck, and you're like, no thanks, I'm good. Is someone wasn't doing it in the right time, the right place, or they weren't called to do that publicly. Because remember, the gift of tongues and interpretation is to build up the whole church. We're going to get to next week. There's private tongues that is to build you up. To just you, just between you and God. Okay. So let's read some scripture here. All right. So the first gift of public tongues is assigned to unbelievers. It's a language of this earth. The second gift of public tongues is a heavenly language, not spoken on earth. It's the language of God. All right. And it has to be interpreted, period. It's what it says. It literally says it in scripture. If you are in a group of people and you feel like, you know, kind of a squeeze, like you need to give a tongue, there needs to be someone else called into the gift of interpretation. It's a partnership thing. All right? It needs to be interpreted. And by the way, interpretation is not a word-for-word translation, because I do pray in tongues. I probably pray in tongues every day. And I'm not, hopefully, a yucky, weirdo person. But I pray in tongues every day, and I interpret my own tongues. And I'll tell you how to do that. I just flow in my heavenly language and English, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it just interprets. I get pictures. God speaks to me. We'll talk about that later. But like in Spanish class, when I had to translate a chapter of Don Quixote, it was really great when they're like, you don't have to translate it word for word. You can just give the cliff notes, the interpretation. So I could read a whole chapter in Don Quixote or even the whole book, and you could give a summary in four sentences. I was like, yes. So if you've ever seen this go on and someone's praying in tongues a long time, but the interpretation's short, they're just giving the general premise, okay? All right, and there's some ground rules for it. I'm just going to hit this real quick. All right, for someone moving in the public gift, an interpretation has to come. It will flow naturally with a service. It will confirm and affirm the message or even like the worship. It'll just like, it all ties together. You're like, whoa, that totally flowed with the worship set. The worship leader really prayed about that and they picked these songs and like it flowed perfectly with what was sang. It flows perfectly with the message. It just all lines up, right? The purpose is to what? Build up and unify the church. Okay, it never disrupts. It doesn't disrupt unity. It doesn't disrupt the flow. You don't feel the chalkboard in your gut, in your stomach. It is not orchestrated. It is not pushed every week by the same person. I remember, quick story, short story. I remember there was this guy. Everybody knows that guy. It was that guy. I'm joking. We all know that guy. You know, the guy that... their life was not in a healthy place. I'm not there to judge them. But they just were not in a healthy place. And if you got to talk to them, you kind of realized that, just some things in their private life and so forth like that. And there was a season that it felt like every Sunday, they just burst out in a tongue in the middle of service. And it was like, it was just yucky. It was the wrong time. It was the wrong place. And it was a personal thing that they were trying to make about they were trying to say that that was for everyone else, and it wasn't. And my dad had a very loving conversation with him. And it was just like, hey, you know, this is a personal, private thing for you. You are not called to the office of everybody. Does that make sense? They kind of made it yucky. Okay. You'll know what you get gut checked in here. All right. But it says this, 1 Corinthians 14:39-40. Desire earnestly to prophesy. So what is to prophesy? 1 Corinthians 14:3 says to build up, to encourage, to comfort, and strengthen. But then it says, earnestly desire to prophesy and don't forbid the speaking in tongues, but be sure that everything done is properly in order. So he's saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Okay, tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy. And I might be losing you guys right now, so let me just start it here. I pray in tongues all the time. I love it. It builds me up. It gets me direction. Next week, we'll talk about how your personal private time with a tongue can reveal mysteries, can reveal things that you're supposed to do. You're praying about direction on things. It can also be used for intercessory prayer that will help other people out. It's just like really powerful. I have some really great stories about that next week. But what I do is when I'm praying in tongues, I will just ask the Lord for interpretation. Like I'll just see pictures, I'll get these impressions, and I will then just go right into the interpretation. I do the interpretation on microphone. I don't feel the need to go burst in tongue on a microphone because we get new people in here all the time. And I would need to then go back and do a very clear teaching. Does that make sense? And if it does happen, you need to stop and teach it in love. But what? All right, here's what God said. 1 Corinthians 14, 12 through 13. All right. Since you are so eager to have the special abilities of the Spirit that he gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. Okay? Build up the whole church. So anyone who speaks in tongues should pray also for the ability to interpret what has been said. Without the interpretation, no one gets built up. Does that make sense? And it leaves you with this yucky feeling, right? All right. I'm chewing. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just going to ask the Lord. I need to button this up real quick. And God's going to give me guidance. Will you be cool if I just read some scriptures? Because scripture speaks for itself. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 30. Paul speaks of the public ministry gifts. The office gifts, the microphone, right? The large group of people. And says, God has appointed these to the church. First, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, the gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all people apostles? No. Are all people prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. But can every person in this room teach? Yes. It's just about what you're called to do. Like I said, like I'm called to balance my checkbook and live in a budget. Praise God. I'm called to teach people how to live in a, you know, I'm not Dave Ramsey's, but thank God we have someone like that. Does that make sense? Okay. Not everybody's Marie Kondo. Thank God she teaches how to organize stuff. Like she's, but I should have my house organized. You're following these gifts, administration, teaching, workers of miracles. Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? It is talking about these public gifts. Because then he goes on to teach how to operate in public the right way, the right time, the right place. And you can't force it. 1 Corinthians 12, 10 through 11. Another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, different kinds of tongues. Another is given the ability to interpret what is being said, the interpretation of tongues. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person has. So I say this, go into prayer going, Lord, I want all of you I can get. I want as many gifts as you want to just flow out of me because it's not about me. It's about reaching other people. Does this make sense? All right. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 through 28. I have two other scriptures after this. So Paul is describing the public ministry gifts and how to get them to flow together where we're not running into each other's lanes, stepping on each other's toes and making a whole mess of things. He says, when you meet together, he is talking about in public at church. One will sing, another will teach. Another will tell some special revelation that God has given. One will speak in tongues and another will interpret. Says, if there is someone speaking in tongues publicly, there needs to be an interpreter. Otherwise, we don't know what they're saying. It doesn't build anybody up. It doesn't build the church up, right? So it says this, but everything that is done must strengthen all of you, all of you. We come together to build up everyone together. No more than two or three should speak in tongues. They must speak one at a time, and someone must interpret what they say. Okay. Now it's going to tell you why. 1 Corinthians 14, 22 through 23. So you see that speaking in tongues, and this is called the first type, the supernatural one. Remember when it's languages of this earth? Speaking in other tongues is a supernatural sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Remember the first public tongue? It was a language of this earth that's going to meet people, and it's going to help them supernaturally explain Jesus to someone. It's for a non-believer, right? But for, okay, so if you see that speaking in tongues, the first type, is a supernatural sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. The Amplified Bible says, why prophecy, inspired preaching and teaching, the interpreting of the divine will and purposes is not for unbelievers, but believers. Sherry, I mean, you might have lost me. It's okay. I'm going to say this. When you move in a public gift of tongues where everyone hears you in the church, you must interpret, or there needs to be another person that interprets it. Because tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy. Tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy, okay? And prophecy builds up, comforts, strengthens, and encourages everyone in the room. Does this make sense? All right. Verse 23, if the whole church assembles together and all are speaking in other languages and people are uninformed and uneducated Christians, in other words, they've never heard about tongues, they haven't read their Bible, they've just never heard it taught. Like today is a day we're teaching it clearly, okay? And unbelievers come in, not so people that are uneducated, they don't know anything about this stuff, and people that aren't Christians come in, and that's probably every Sunday here at our church. We have different people coming in, right? Will they not say that you were out of your minds? Okay. Did we just get to the punchline here? If there are people in your church that have never heard anything about these gifts of the Holy Spirit, they've never heard about tongues, they've never heard about the interpretation of tongues, and everyone just stands up and just everybody's just publicly, if everyone stands up and just starts bursting out in tongues, they're gonna think you're crazy. Amplified says they will think you're demented. I mean, these are like rough, that's what it says. It's what Paul's saying, okay? So funny story. No, I don't have time for, I have no time for stories. I have lots of stories. All right. So 1 Corinthians 14:28, and this is my bridge to next week. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in church and speak to himself and to God. That means you can pray quietly to yourself. I'll sing, I'll pray. I just am not on the microphone and I'm not trying to like distract anyone around me. Does that make sense? Okay. And then it says this, and then speak in tongues to God privately. All right, so next week, I have lots of really fun stories of the gift of tongues privately and how God uses it to reveal mysteries, to guide you, to direct you, to just kind of show you where to go. I'll show you how to flow in that, and also how God can pray through you in the gift of intercession that can cause really cool miracles where lives are just changed because he needed to pray through someone that didn't know what was going on. And I actually tell you two people in my life that were, their lives were saved through this gift. It's a really cool thing. All right, let's just stand up and pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just love you so much. Lord, I just ask you for your grace. I felt a little rushed at the end, but Lord, we want to be educated. And we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. So Lord, we just thank you for the gift of Holy Spirit. You are so good. And just my challenge to you is just to pray, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Holy Spirit, fill me up. I want all of you I can get. Give me every gift that you would have me to flow in so I would be empowered to reach lost people. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a great day. If you have questions, I know I felt a little rushed at the end. I'd love to answer them. If you'd like prayer in any capacity, if you'd like a fresh overflow infilling of Holy Spirit, we would love to pray for you. If I can have some grow group leaders and ministers at the front.